I like walking dogs because it gives you exercise and time outside. It's also awesome for the owner of the dogs to not have to do it.
Welcome to the Strategic Families Podcast, where we challenge your family to be rooted in God's Word, energized with gospel-centered purpose, and activated on mission for His kingdom. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Strategic Families Podcast. Okay, those who know me know that I'm easily excited about things, so take this for what it's worth, but I am really excited about this episode. Today, we're going to get strategic here, and we're going to talk about helping your kids secure jobs, actually earning money from their own labor so they can learn all of the amazing benefits of having and keeping a job. We've been really blessed that our kids have managed to get a bunch of jobs in our neighborhood, and we have seen so much fruit, some intended and some we didn't anticipate from these endeavors. And quick aside, we have some awesome neighbors that have been so generous and kind towards our kids. Neighbors, if you're listening, thank you so much. So anyway, we wanted to take some time in this episode to cast a vision for how this could look for your kids and for you to see how many amazing lessons and character building opportunities are produced through kids working. While the idea of kids working would have been natural and intuitive a century ago, this is, sadly, no longer the case. Everything is so easily provided for us in our culture today. To actually have our kids work takes intentional effort. So we wanted to bring this issue into the light, evaluate it, and hopefully help you prioritize it for your family. I know I'm going to sound like an old-timer here, and that's fine. That's kind of who I am anyway. But I really think there's no substitute for good old-fashioned, my hands hurt and it's hot and I'm sweaty and I'm tired kind of hard work. It's a phenomenal teacher. We have to help our kids experience this reality. Let's reject this idea of kids just needing to have everything provided for them all the time. No, we want them to work. Work is a great thing. God gave Adam work before the fall. Work was not the curse. Work was a blessing, and it still should be today. All right, so the really cool part about this episode is you don't just have to listen to me the whole time. You're going to hear from our older three kids, ages 9 to 13. They've all had multiple jobs in our neighborhood, and they're going to share all about how they got the jobs, what they do, and what they've learned. So before we hear from the kids, I'd like Katie to give some introduction to this concept and why we're so passionate about it.
Yeah, our kids having jobs in the neighborhood has been a reality in our lives for about 5 years now and has been such a blessing for our family. Before we hear from the kids, I just wanted to provide some introduction and context on what this looks like for our family. As you can guess, having to manage jobs is itself a job. I have many reminders and alarms on my phone all the time to remind the kids to do different things and a full color-coded calendar posted so everyone can keep track of their jobs day to day. Whether it's ensuring a dog gets walked, a cat gets fed, a house is looked after, someone needs to babysit, a lawn needs to be mowed, or a meal needs to be prepared and delivered. It often feels like a part-time job for me to help track and communicate about the jobs since our kids don't have their own phones to do this. But the value is so significant for them, and it teaches so many things that would be difficult for them to learn in any other way, that it has been worth the extra effort on my end. Proverbs 14:23 says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." The Bible is clearly endorsing hard work here, and this is something we should long for our kids not only to understand, but to experience. It's one thing for them to see you working hard and the satisfaction you get from it. That's good. But it's so much better if they themselves are required to work hard and experience all of its joys and struggles for themselves. Sometimes as parents, we talk about the value of a dollar. Basically, there is no better way to understand the value of a dollar than having to work for it and go through all the inconveniences of jobs, like walk a dog in the rain, or mow a lawn when you would so much rather read a book or lay in bed. It's precisely these situations that help kids truly understand that money doesn't grow on trees. It's earned through hard and sometimes inconvenient work. And this is also when they learn the value of being dependable, someone your employer can count on to do a job well and on time. Remember, all of these wonderful concepts that we want our kids to embody when they're adults, they don't magically appear when a kid turns 18 or 21. They need to be folded into their lives when they're young, giving them time to work through them and get past their selfishness. I promise you that you are not stealing their childhood. They can still have plenty of time to pursue their own interests and have fun. But we are raising them ultimately to be adults. Considerate, compassionate, diligent, dependable adults. And besides, when we teach our children to be contributors, producers, and hard workers, they will be so much happier, satisfied, and fulfilled than if they fall prey to our culture's lies about excessive consumption and self-esteem, which ultimately leads to emptiness. Through their own labor with these jobs, our kids have learned perseverance and how to own their responsibilities, even when they may not be excited about a job at a particular time. But there are also tons of ancillary skills. They've learned to communicate with their employers in several situations, such as to handle unexpected challenges, or when they need to change their schedules, or seeking adjustments in pay, or seeking their feedback to grow their businesses. They've learned to practice making sales, create marketing pieces, and the importance of good referrals. They've learned to manage budgets and balance sheets, as well as how to assess costs and benefits. They've learned time management and numerous new skills so they can seek out new work and opportunities. With their earnings, they've opened bank accounts and invested in stocks, and there have been several great lessons in the management of these. For instance, learning about the economy, how businesses are funded, and what industries are succeeding and failing. They've also learned the joy of being able to be generous and find and research good organizations to donate to. So, in summary, I would say your kids getting jobs is unequivocally a good thing for your kids. When I say good, I do not mean easy by any stretch for them or for you. But isn't that true in most parenting endeavors? The good things are often hard things.
You are such a saint to manage all those alarms on your phone. I know sometimes you're tempted to pull your hair out if another alarm goes off, and it's a labor of love. But as you said, it's incredibly valuable for the development of so many things in our kids that would be really hard to learn in any other way. All right, so last thing I want to say before we hear from the kids is that we realize there are lots of different situations, and your experience and context will be different from ours. You may not have neighbors as close, or your neighbors may not need the same services. We're truly fortunate to have such generous, encouraging neighbors who have been willing to give our kids opportunities. And I don't want this to come across like, just do these things and your kids will have great jobs. But the principles we'll cover here are applicable really no matter where you live. Still, you may have to help your kids search for opportunities, and the best opportunities are often entrepreneurial in nature. Either way, our encouragement is to prompt your kids to develop useful skills and search for jobs where they can utilize them. All right, with all this talk about the kids, it's time to hear from the kids. So with me right now, I have three beautiful children, and thankfully, I don't have any bias at all. They're all beautiful children. And hopefully one day our 5-year-old Lillian will be able to join us for a similar conversation, but you know, we might be violating some child labor laws or something if our 5-year-old were already working out there. Okay, so let's hear from each of these kids. We'll start with our oldest.
Hi, I'm Titus and I'm 13. The most consistent job I've had is walking a dog on weekdays for about 5 years now since I was 8. I also care for dogs, cats, and homes while families are away, and I have cleaned cat litter before. I've also done some yard work periodically, such as mowing grass, raking leaves, and spreading mulch.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm 11 years old. I've helped take care of cats when families are away, mowed grass, raked leaves, washed cars, and helped spread mulch. I also am a mommy's helper for some small kids down the street. Recently, I started my own business, baking and making meals, which has been really fun because I love being in the kitchen.
Hi, I'm Elise, and I'm 9 years old. I walk a neighbor's dog a couple of times a week. I watch cats for my neighbors when they're out of town. I've also helped with raking, mulching, and washing cars.
Okay, one thing I just want to confirm before we move on, and I want my kids to corroborate this. We are not stealing your childhood by making you work, right? Right?
No comment.
Oh, goodness. Well, all right, maybe we'll cut this part out. I don't know. No, you love jobs, don't you? They all love jobs. Sort of. Mostly. No, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. All right, so let's get into some of the detail. How did each of you start getting your jobs in the neighborhood?
Well, I kind of came about this all accidentally. Actually, another neighbor came to me when I was 8 years old and asked me if I would be interested in walking their dog. I said yes, and that's the same job that I mentioned earlier that I've been doing for 5 years. So I didn't really set out to find work, but it has been an unbelievable blessing. And so soon after that, word of mouth kind of did its work, and it spawned from other neighbors seeing me walking that dog. So I got asked to do other jobs, and before I knew it, it was kind of a snowball effect. I had a dozen clients within walking distance. So the thing that probably aided me the most was my visibility and my availability.
My siblings and I have been getting odd jobs for a while. We did a lot of yard work and animal care, but I've been wanting to start selling meals and baked items for a while. And this year, I had the opportunity to take an entrepreneurship class through our homeschool co-op, which prompted me to create a plan, develop marketing materials, determine pricing, and learn how to make sales pitches. So in November, I offered samples of my baked items at a neighborhood event and had flyers and sign-ups so people could start purchasing from me. So this is my primary endeavor now, but I also work as a mommy's helper for a couple of families.
I got my first cat sitting jobs from our neighbor that works for walking dogs and have gotten some with other families since. I also like to sub for Titus when he isn't available. But since I wanted to get dog walking jobs as well, I decided to let people know I was interested in finding work. Last summer, Hannah and I made flyers and went up to people's doors and asked them if they wanted their dogs walked or their cars washed. And Hannah also offered to sell sourdough bread. I got a few customers at first, and I have one dog walking job I've been doing twice a week. I really enjoy that.
You gotta love the subcontracted work from one sibling to another. That's great. All right, for each of you, what do you think is the value of getting jobs in the neighborhood?
Well, I think there are a lot of benefits, especially for the one doing the work. I think the most obvious one is the financial cushion. If you work now, you don't have to work as much later in high school. If you save the money you get now, it'll make a huge difference later. Also, having a job really teaches the value of commitment, hard work, and integrity. I'm also confident that someday this will help with referrals for other jobs because I've done work for several years with multiple households, and hopefully they'll be able to vouch for my dependability. Also, with the money you make, you can get great budget and investment experience. I confess, I'm not the most financially conscious. I don't keep a great budget, but it can give great experience.
I think getting odd jobs around the neighborhood is a great way to connect with your neighbors and meet new people around you. I've also learned some cool skills from the mom I'm a mommy's helper for that have really inspired me. I also just love cooking and providing people with healthy food, so I love having a chance to be in the kitchen, especially if I'm going to get paid for it. But really, with any business, it's great to be able to practice whatever you love to do and get better at it. It's also just a great way to serve others and help out.
I like that I have a chance to get to know our neighbors better and find ways to serve needs they have. I like that I can do these jobs without needing to get rides from my parents or needing to be able to drive, so I can start earning money while I'm young. I think that is a great opportunity.
Man, I wish that I had 1/5 of the amount of money that these kids have earned through their own hard labor when I was a kid. But hey, live and learn. Okay, so now I want to hear from each of these kids. What are some of the challenges or maybe frustrations of having jobs in the neighborhood?
Well, there are some frustrations, but in my opinion, it's really all worth it in the end. One thing I can find annoying is having to wake up early on your sleep-in day, like on the weekend, because the dog needs to go to the bathroom across the street. Some weeks, especially around the holidays, because lots of families go on vacation, things can get really busy, and I can get interrupted a lot throughout the day. A lot of my jobs aren't time-intensive, but they are time-specific, so I need to be available and be where I'm supposed to be on time several times a day. But in my experience, the most time-consuming and sometimes the most annoying jobs are the ones that also pay the best. And it all works out in the end, in my opinion.
Well, I think one of many people's biggest hang-ups is that work takes time. When I just want to go play, sometimes I can't because I have to go take care of an animal or rake somebody's leaves. It can be annoying to have a schedule that you have to stick to if new opportunity pops up. Also, there can just be difficult things about your job, like if you're taking care of animals and they get dirty, you may have to clean them off. So even if you like animals, you probably don't like cleaning animals. So there can be a lot of different things you won't like about a job because the truth is that people are going to hire you to do things they don't want to do themselves. So oftentimes you're not going to like everything about your job, and that's okay. But my recommendation would be that you only take the jobs that are most enjoyable to you.
Like I said, I love the opportunity to walk dogs and take care of cats and things like that. I don't think that I have anything that annoys me. It actually makes me more mad if I have to miss doing my job.
That's great. Mad to miss work. I love it. All right, so now I would love to hear from each of you on the ways in which you've grown from these jobs.
I've definitely grown in many ways as a result of me working for my neighbors. I've learned to take much more responsibility, especially on time-sensitive jobs. You have to be really trustworthy and reliable when your neighbors are counting on you to make sure their dog gets let out to the bathroom. I've gotten extremely sensitive to making sure I check everything in houses, locks in particular, before I leave to make sure that I never leave someone's house unprotected. It's a really big struggle for me because I'll go back 2 or 3 times in a single visit just to make sure that the lock is checked. I would say that raising the stakes of my responsibility with work put more pressure on me, and that actually helped me perform better. Most people find this to be true. I definitely did. Dependability is for sure a quality you have to have if you want to get a second job. On the first one, they don't know you that well, at least not your work ethic. They may think that you're a nice kid, but that's not the same as being able to rely on you to get the job done. On that first job, you have to be super careful and follow directions. Make sure you listen really well and read instructions carefully. Make a really good first impression. Oh, and by the way, that brings me to another point. I've definitely grown significantly in talking to adults. Being polite and carrying on a conversation, asking good follow-up questions, taking notes mentally or on paper. These are all things I definitely learned how to do much, much better. Asking follow-up questions in particular is important, and it builds a very useful skill for life. Also, you have to be responsible with the money that you earn. This is hard, but being frivolous or stingy with money never leads to good things. Give 10% as a tithe, and have God direct you to where the rest should go. Personally, I save most of it for college and car. These are only some of the many benefits of working in the neighborhood.
I think I have especially grown in taking care of my money, like when I am tithing or donating to different organizations. I've also learned how to manage time schedules and plan ahead carefully, particularly when delivering hot meals because I need to be on schedule to accommodate the families I'm serving. When I'm making 4 or 5 meals at a time to be delivered at several different times, I need to think carefully in advance. I also learned to plan ahead for shopping lists to make sure I have all the supplies I'll need, and how to manage my monthly calendar with those in my family to make sure I know what I can promise and deliver on.
I've learned to persevere when dogs or cats need something extra, or when I'm tired or the weather isn't great. I've also been learning to communicate with the owners when I need to. And I plan to use my money towards college and a car, so I am trying to be diligent to keep track of my money and deposit it periodically into the bank. I've also had more communication with adults because the adults I work for are so easy to talk to.
All right, you heard it here first on the Strategic Families Podcast. College savings plans? Just get your kids to work in the neighborhood. Just kidding, kind of, but not totally. All right, a little more of a fun question here. What are some of your favorite jobs, and why are they your favorite jobs?
I would probably say that my favorite jobs are the ones that I can perform when people have no other options. One of my favorite neighbor quotes was concerning a neighbor's cats. Apparently she had already scheduled a vacation, but later she came to hand in a lease and asked if they were available. When they said they were, the neighbor said, "Oh good, I'm so glad. I didn't know what I'd do if you weren't able to take care of them." So my favorite jobs are the ones that help the neighbors who need it the most when they don't have any other options.
I'm really into cooking, so I love to sell food, but I enjoy my mommy's helper job too. For both of them, I get to see different people and help them out. I probably enjoy making food the most though, which is why I started my neighborhood business. We all also have been doing random jobs around the neighborhood, and I enjoy those because we can grow our relationships together just by spending time together outside.
I like walking dogs because it gives you exercise and time outside. And it's also awesome for the owner of the dogs to not have to do it on a day that they're working. But all of them really help me take on more responsibility.
All right. Thank you guys for that. Okay, we interrupt this programming for a quick word from our sponsor. Oh wait, that would be us. Ha! But seriously, we wanted to let everyone know about a cool new thing we're trying here at Strategic Families. You know, we love podcasting, but this summer, it's going to get real. As in, we're doing an event in the Charlotte area for people, but not just any people. Males, but not just any males. Boys, but not just any boys. Boys who want to become young men. Here at Strategic Families, we believe in men. And in the capacity for boys to become young men, and young men to become fully grown men, men of character and of consequence. You know, this is insane to me, but the idea of manhood has largely fallen out of favor in our culture. Have you noticed that? What is shame? Worse, it's a tragedy. Here at Strategic Families, we are all about manhood, specifically godly manhood. You know, the thought occurred to me recently that our problem is not so much bad men, those have always been around, but the absence of real men. We want to be a part of changing that here at Strategic Families. We want to help produce strong men, resolute men, protective men, principled men. So this summer in the Charlotte area, we're offering what we're calling the Young Man Boot Camp for boys ages 9 to 12. It's 4 consecutive evenings, Monday through Thursday, July 31st through August 3rd, 2023, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. each night. Cost is $150 with an optional Shoe Thyself a Man t-shirt. Check that out. I gotta warn you though, this camp is not for the faint of heart. If you're looking for glorified babysitting, you'll want to find another camp. If you want your athlete to improve his skills, that's awesome, but it's another camp entirely. If you're looking for a place where your son or grandson will do hard things, test himself, challenge himself, learn how to honor young ladies, study godly men of the Bible, grow in maturity, learn the value of self-sacrifice and the strength of discipline, and to catch a vision for what a godly man is and does, this is the camp for you. Join us for Young Man Boot Camp, Monday through Thursday, July 31st through August 3rd in the Charlotte area, specifically Northwest Baptist Church in Concord. Learn more and register at strategicfamilies.com/youngmanbootcamp. Okay, so this is sort of a similar question, but Let's think about it from the other person's perspective. How can these jobs be a blessing to others?
Well, as I mentioned before, I really like being able to help people with needs they would have a really hard time meeting otherwise. If I know they're busy, just had a baby, or don't have another way to care for their pets on vacation, it's a joy not only to work, but to meet a genuine need. I also like that while I feel our neighbors pay us very generously, I think it's often cheaper for them to pay me than if they paid a company for a similar service. So it can be, and almost always is, a mutually beneficial financial arrangement.
Your work can be a blessing in many ways to the people you're serving, and here are two of the ways that I would like to mention. One, you're doing something or giving your neighbor something they don't want to do or something they don't have time for, and that helps them out. Two, while you're doing the job, you can show them God's love by blessing them, and having a business allows you to really get to know your neighbors and grow your neighborhood connections so that someday you could hopefully lead them to Christ or pique their interest to learn more about Him. And blessing others always blesses you back just by watching them get blessed, especially when Christ worked through you to cross their joy.
Well, for one dog that I walk, his owners both have to work every day, so it's a blessing for me to walk him every day so they won't have to worry about him while they're away. And it's a blessing for me as well.
All right, so some people are going to hear this and they're going to go, man, I want my kids to get jobs. Where do I start? Okay, so this is your chance, kids. Encourage parents and encourage some other kids. Where would you recommend that other kids start if they're interested in getting jobs?
Well, I have a few thoughts on that. First, I would decide right now that you're going to do this. That is, that you're going to invest your time in working so you can earn an income. This needs to be a deliberate step because if you just kind of casually enter into it, you're not going to have the stamina to keep them when it gets hard. Then narrow it down. What would you enjoy doing that could benefit others? If you're thinking of doing something that makes a lot of money and serves others, but that you hate, you're eventually going to burn out, lose steam, and quit. And that's not good for anybody. Do something that you enjoy and serve others, then see if it makes any money. We're kids. We don't have to pay for rent or utilities yet, so we should be pretty thankful. If you're interested in doing this whole neighborhood work idea, then don't put it off. Start now. It has so many unexpected life lessons and formational moments throughout it. It's totally worth it. One final thought. Don't be afraid. Starting a business, or even just asking a neighbor if you could work for them, is very scary. I know. What I've found is that most adults, far from laughing behind their sleeve at you, will take you quite seriously and will want to support you. Some will go out of their way to provide work for you. Trust in God as you launch your idea. If you're in God's will and listening to Him, then anything really is possible.
I think it depends on you and on where you live. Meaning, if you live in a neighborhood with a lot of dogs, then maybe you should start a dog walking business or a pet care business. If you're trying to find a business idea, start by finding a need the people around you have, and then see if that appeals to you. And if it does, then you should do that. I would also like to recommend Boss Club. Titus and I both used the Boss Club program through our co-op, and it taught me a bunch of different things that helped me get my business off the ground. It's amazing. They give you lots of ideas and videos to help you out. You can find their website at www.bossclub.com.
I would recommend that you start by making connections with the people in your neighborhood and to earn their trust with experience. And then as you hear of their needs, you can just offer to be available. Or maybe even just do it for free sometimes to earn their trust and see if they want you to continue.
All right, that's great, guys. Thank you so much for making your debut in the podcasting world with me today. I am so proud of each of you and the work you've been doing, the way you've been generous and wise with the money you've earned, and all the ways I've seen these jobs help to shape your character as you're growing up. It is truly a blessing. So parents, I hope this has been a blessing for you as well. Maybe it's an episode to let your kids listen to and see if it inspires some ideas in them. We purposefully wanted to produce this one now because summer is coming. So even if your kids are in school, they could use these summer months to try to get something launched. While Katie and I were intentional about encouraging our kids to work, we have been far more blessed by this component of our family life than we even anticipated, and we would love for you and your family to experience these same blessings. And also, remember, it'll be a blessing in your neighborhood as well. You may have to be creative, and you're definitely going to need to carve out time to develop skills, build relationships and opportunities, and to be available for the work that comes along. But we feel this is a cost that is well worth it for the value of what you will reap as a family. I would contend that work uniquely develops things in our kids that just can't be formed in other ways. So in summary, here are some of the benefits. Encouraging your kids to work will help them learn the value of a dollar as they manage the money they earned with their own labor. It will give them opportunities to bless others who may have a difficult time doing the things that they need done and often saving them money. It'll help your kids grow in confidence and reliability as they complete jobs for others. It'll help your kids learn to communicate with adults and one day with their employer. It'll help your kids earn money that they can give and save and invest and spend. It'll help your kids learn new skills that they would have a hard time learning otherwise, like time management. It'll help your kids learn how to be dependable, especially when it's inconvenient. So many things, and there are probably a bunch of others that we could name. Hopefully, we've convinced you in this episode that Work for Kids is a good thing, a really good thing. Don't fall victim to the mentality that your kids just need to play all the time. What kind of lessons would they learn in a world like that? Without intending it, we could communicate to them that the world revolves around them, and I think we all know what that looks like in adulthood. Working helps them break out of that self-focused way of thinking and operating because it forces them to serve someone else. They learn how to produce something of value for someone else, and that, my friends, is a very useful, life-giving thing indeed. So what could be your next steps? Ask your spouse and kids to listen to the episode as well, or just recap it for them over your next family dinner. Have the kids take some time to brainstorm some ideas over the next few days. Then schedule a family meeting and let the kids share their ideas. Select what you all think are the best ones and think through what steps you'd have to take to make it happen. I guarantee you that if you put all your minds to it, somebody around you needs something done, and they're more than happy to pay for it. It just takes some intentionality on our part, and you will see the Lord work really cool things in your kids and in your family. So put the first couple of steps on your calendar and get going. We're praying that you and your family will find this extremely fruitful in more ways than one. If this episode or a previous one has been helpful to you, would you consider sharing it with a friend? I also want to remind you to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already and get notifications for future episodes. We'd love it if you take a couple minutes to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. As a reminder, we've started offering monthly emails with some quick tips and resources to help you take these ideas and put them into action in your family. If you aren't receiving these emails yet, sign up on our homepage at strategicfamilies.com. I think you'll be really blessed by the content, and it's only one email a month. All right, so my song recommendation this week is kind of a random one. You can make fun of this if you want, but Katie and I just went to the symphony recently, and we loved it. So my song recommendation for you this week is to listen to Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 1. In my opinion, it is one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written. I love it, and I think anyone who takes time to listen to it would love it as well. All right, so thanks for running this race with us, guys. It is so exciting to see the Lord at work. That's all we have for now. We'll see you next time.
But all of them really helped me take on more. I like walking dogs because it gives you exercise.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
No big deal.
She put me in Anthony.
Oh, Anna.
Wait, what?
But all of them really helped me take on more.
But all of them almost made
it. Just the last sentence.
All right.
Just the last sentence.
I really don't think I can.
She can. Come on.